talking today with Dr. Bob Young, chief economist for American Farm Bureau. Bob, I think the agricultural industry right now, our economy, really kind of teetering a little bit. Description that your president, Zippy Duval, gave to the House Ag Committee just a couple of weeks ago now indicated that we're not quite there to true crisis yet, but we can almost see it.
Well, and I think that's almost exactly the words I'd use. You know, we talk with Farm Credit quite a bit, talk with a lot of ag lenders, et cetera, as we move through the spring planting season. And, you know, most of them will say that, you know, for the most part, you know, you might have an individual here or there, but overall, that they got through the lending season as needed, and didn't have that many problems really when it got right down to it. But I think we all understand that, talk to us again this same time 2017, and if commodity prices stay where they are, if we don't end up with some growers taking some real advantages of some of these price pops we had like we had last week, we don't become very shrewd marketers here, that We could be facing a challenge in 2017. We're not there yet, but we can sure see it from here.
What really do you think has caused a lot of these problems we've had that kind of developed over the last couple of growing seasons?
Just low commodity prices.
Are we too good at what we do?
Yes. Agriculture has a long, long history of, basically producing the profit out of any situation. And here we are again. You know, once demand growth stopped, we produced 15 billion bushels of or 15 billion gallons of ethanol. We've got the Chinese economy, kind of backing off a little bit. So their input demand's kind of slowing down as well. You don't have the export growth coming out of China. You don't have the domestic demand growth coming out of the ethanol side. If there's no demand growth, I don't care what level of demand we're talking about hitting. If there's no growth, we can hit that number. And as I say, produce all the profit out of it, whatever that level happens to be.
You allude to some of our international customers and in some cases competitors. The Chinese, very interesting in the announcements that they've made recently regarding starting to try to get rid of some of their stocks or move some of their stocks into the open market, corn and cotton especially.
And this is the same problem. Remember back in the days that we had a farmer-owned reserve or we had big government stocks. You feel good when the stocks are flowing in because you're supporting prices, and that's a wonderful thing. But then it dawns on you about a year later, oh, wait a second, now all those stocks are in there, and what are we going to do with them? I don't think anybody knows how many corn stocks or how many cotton stocks the Chinese are sitting on at this stage of the game. Certainly nobody knows what the quality of those stocks are. And so the challenge now becomes, as those bleed out, and you want them to bleed out, that means, that's just that much additional supply that we've got to suck up for that as long as it takes to get that supply sucked up. So it is a challenge. They are doing the right kind of things in terms of, lowering their support levels for corn to let the market react. And longer term, they're doing the right kinds of things, and they are bleeding those stocks down. But in the meantime, boy, you're going to kind of eat it for a while.
For your members and for farmers across the country, whether you're a farmer or a rancher, what is the key? In other words, I know that there's been a lot of talk and some surveys showing that farmers are really pulling their horns in a lot of ways.
And I think that's kind of what we got to do here for a while until we end up with, some kind of demand growth showing up. I think we've got to be just as close to the vest as we can. In the old days, we talked about sharpening the pencil and, really working it hard. Today we're going to talk about really looking at the spreadsheet, but I think we've got to do that. If we don't have to buy the input, then let's not buy the input. Can we go a year or two with some of the crop nutrients that we got in the ground? I would say, can we buy, do we have to buy the latest, greatest seed variety? But, that's about all they're offering you to buy anyway, so you kind of don't have a choice there. Obviously, we're not buying as much new paint. Substantial drawbacks on what new paint we've been buying, long conversations with our landlords, just all those things that we can do that we didn't have to do for the last 3 or 4 years, but we got to do that rolling forward.
Seems that we go through these cycles on a periodic basis.
Absolutely. You know, you I know how much gray hair you have. I know how much gray hair I have. I know we were around in the 80s. Tough times that created. We've got a lot of we're not anywhere near that situation at this point in time. But
we don't have the credit problems we had in the 80s.
No, we don't. We've been very frugal about not taking on a lot of additional lending. Although I will say in the last 12, 18 months or so, we have started picking back up again. Interest rates are certainly not where they were in the 1980s. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't move and that, you know. So I guess I would just say, we've talked to our young farmers, you know, the line that I'm using with them at this stage of the game is, I'm not telling you not to expand. If it makes business sense at these prices, both in terms of inputs especially in terms of outputs, and if you were to, say, double interest rates from where they are today, if it makes sense under those conditions, by all means, go forth. If it doesn't, then you better think about it really hard.